All right, and we are live on twitch.tv/basementmovieroom. Welcome to the Basement Movie Room podcast.
Welcome
We're discussing The Last of Us, Episode 2 on HBO. Right now, we have it playing on the TV. We just finished watching the episode. And we're here to discuss it, of course. So if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. If you follow us on Twitch, you'll see we go live directly after the episode. Sometimes we start a little late, but in any case, you can catch us on twitch.tv/basementmovieroom, as I said before already, or you can find us on all your favorite podcast apps under Basement Movie Room or on our direct feed for The Last of Us, A Click in the Dark, The Last of Us podcast.
Please click a like.
Click.
Click is going to be...
Click's going to be a big one in this episode. So how we usually like to start this out, if you're first time joining us, is we like to kind of give our ideas on what we thought about this particular episode. As I said, it's episode 2. So what did you think?
It was a very good episode. I like how they expand on how the origins of this virus have come about.
Virus. Yeah.
It's fungal infection.
Yeah, it's an have infection. Come about. So, they expand a lot in this episode. A lot. If you played the game, you're not going to get some of this. There are some changes from the game, which I'll discuss somewhat. We're going to spoil the show here, so if you haven't watched episode 2, or episode 1 for that matter, you may want to watch that and then come back. We are going to spoil the game a little bit, but you have not played the game.
Exactly.
I thought this was...
two perspectives here. So
that's right.
It's good to have.
Yeah, it is. So obviously, second episode, it's excellent, I thought. It's very good. Good world building and some progression of the story. Like I told you, the game is a fairly short game. It's about 12 hours long, and that's with just kind of playing it. You know, you're overall in the game, like your cutscenes and things like that move the story along. Really, it's probably only about 2 to 3 hours of material. So they obviously have to expand on it, and that's what this episode did quite a bit with the opening. To be honest, the opening expands it a lot. So I thought that was a nice touch. Some things changed in the game. I'll discuss that later. I told you during the episode what had changed somewhat, if I remembered correctly. And it told me in the post-show stuff, they were like, oh, we changed it. And I was like, I knew it was different.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, all right. So, ready to get in the episode?
Yeah.
All right. So, opening of the episode, we'll go through this kind of a scene by scene to some extent, although the first scene is kind of self-contained before the opening credits, and then the rest of the episode is kind of just like one long part. So I'll kind of jump around a little bit there on that part and talk about little parts, and we'll go through it. So the opening episode, we're shown Jakarta, Indonesia. Welcome all our Indonesian friends. We get a lot of views on YouTube from Indonesia.
Yes.
I would love to be able to speak the Indonesian language, but I can't do that. And if I could only put subtitles for Indonesia, it'd be nice, but I don't know how to
Which
do that either.
Is a good thing. I like how they use subtitles.
Yeah.
When they're in Indonesia.
Yeah, there's no English here.
There's no English. Yeah. It's in.
Yeah, they're using the Indonesian language, which the Indonesia is like Bakutu or something like that. It's Indonesian Bakutu or something like that.
It makes it feel, you know, like relevant.
It feels real. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like what were we watching where it's like. Jack Ryan. You haven't watched that. But, like, Jack Ryan, like, it's in Russia. A lot of people are in Russia.
Yeah.
They're all speaking English for the most part.
I've seen enough of it.
It's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice they made just to go with English. And I guess some of the actors they actually cast aren't actually Russians. Like, I don't know why I'm talking about Jack Ryan, but Sir Jorah Mormont, the leader of the at the wall in Game of Thrones, is in Jack Ryan, and of course he's English. He's an English actor. He's not speaking Russian in the show. He's playing a Russian. But in any case, let's get back to The Last of Us. I'm not going to have a discussion on Jack Ryan right now. Maybe later.
That'll be another time.
Maybe later. Yeah. So we open up in Jakarta, Indonesia, and the Indonesian military, comes into a restaurant, and everybody kind of freezes, like, what's going on? And they go up to one particular lady, older Indonesian lady, and they come up to her. She's eating, and they're like, you know, come with us.
Eating noodles.
Yeah. She's eating noodles just in a regular noodle shop there in Indonesia. So she goes with them. She's in the car, and like, she looks very worried in the back of the car. She obviously doesn't know what's going on, and she's like, am I in trouble? And they're like, no, we We need you. You're the professor of mycology at the University of Indonesia. I looked it up. Mycology is the study of fungi. So obviously we know what's coming here. They take her into a laboratory and they show her a slide, and she looks at the slide and says, this is cordyceps. She has a full name for it, but cordyceps is part of it. And we saw cordyceps in the first episode on some of the signs. And that's not something they really discussed in the game. So this is, and this part's not in the game at all. We don't see any of this. She's looking at the slide and she's like, cordyceps. And why was this prepared with chlorazol? I think she calls it.
Right.
And they're like, well, because it's a human sample, and that's how you prepare human slides of samples from humans. And at that point, she gets very worried look on her face. And right. They're like, mm-hmm. All right, come with us. And they put her in a full biohazard suit. She goes into a biohazard unit in full biohazard suit. And they tell her, hey, if you get sick in there, just come out.
Yeah.
You know, just come out. She goes up to this body. It's a Indonesian woman laying on a table naked. And the guy, the military general, I think it's Asus Hadiat or something like that. It'll show his name tag in a second and I'll get it. But he says, left ankle. And she goes down to the left ankle, turns it over, and there's a bite mark on this lady's ankle. And she takes a scalpel and cuts open near the bite mark and finds fungus inside. And so she kind of moves up the body to the mouth, opens the mouth, takes a pair of clamps, like scissor clamps, reaches in there and pulls out the tendrils, which she sees. And she freaks out at that point and kind of leaves the room. And they go into like this little place. They give her a cup of tea, and she's just sitting there asking questions like, where did this woman come from? And the guy says she's from a flour and grain factory here in Jakarta. And she goes, like, what happened? And he explains to her that she all of a sudden, you know, kind of lost it and went crazy and started attacking her coworkers, like 14 of them, I think they say, that 14. She bit.
Right.
They locked up the police came. They ended up shooting the woman because she tried to attack them. And that's why she's dead on the table. She got a bullet hole in her head. And so she's like, what happened to the other 14? And they're like, well, we quarantined them as we will, but at some point they had to be executed because they did the same thing.
Yeah.
And then she asked the important question, who bit her? And they're like, we have no idea. And she asked if any of the other workers are missing. Her name is Ibu Ranta.
Ibu Ranta.
Yeah. And she asked if there's any other workers missing. And they go, yeah, there's some missing. And she goes, do you have any clue on where they are? And he's like, no. And he's like, we brought you in because we need a vaccine for this.
You need to fix this.
And that's where kind of it drops, where she's like, there is no.
Yeah, goes back to the first episode.
Yeah, there's no vaccine.
No vaccine.
There's no cure.
No medicine.
Nothing they can do.
Yeah.
She studied these for like 40 years. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, so please listen carefully. There is no medicine.
Yeah.
There is no vaccine.
No vaccine.
Yeah. And he goes, well, what can we do to fight this? And she says, bombs. Bomb this city. Kill everyone in it to stop this. And then she goes, can somebody drive me home? I want to be with my family.
Right.
Because she knows this is the end.
This is the end.
This is the end.
Yeah.
And the general's like sitting there just like awestruck that somebody would tell him this, and that what he may have to do is start bombing Jakarta, Indonesia. Yeah. And if you refer back to that first episode, they talk about unrest in Jakarta before the infection hits Austin, Texas. Sarah's talking about it at the breakfast table.
Right. While they're about to eat.
They were talking pancakes. About pancakes. So clearly they're setting up that this was in the food supply.
Yeah, the food supply.
In the food supply, and that's how it spread. So after this scene, we go to the intro credits. I thought they might change them, but they seem the same. And I thought they may have been a little bit shorter ultimately, possibly a little bit. But we had talked about like Game of Thrones intro, how it might jump around and kind of show where the people are. Well, they're not even out of Boston at this point, so it didn't really need to jump around to show where they were.
Yeah.
So we jump back to Ellie sleeping on the floor of a building. She wakes up and Joel and Tess are kind of like looking at her and holding a gun to her. And because Joel's sure she's infected, it's just taking place slower. And he's like, she's going to change. She's going to change. And Tess is a little less like hardcore.
She's more sympathetic towards her. Yeah.
You know,
she sees hope.
We should actually talk about the Indonesia opening, because I thought it was perfection. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And I even brought up to you, I was like, you know, I wonder if they actually had this was the opening scene.
Yeah. Episode one. I don't think it was, but it would have been a good one.
But it was a nice connective tissue.
Yeah, yeah. Connective fungus.
Fungus, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, it's a tendril.
Yeah, I mean,
tendril of the story.
It builds on that first scene, which, you know, that first scene in episode one is my favorite.
Yeah, it's amazing.
My favorite scene.
Yeah, it's very amazing stuff.
Yeah, and they built on that with episode two here. And, yeah, I love how they're diving into where it could have came from, yeah. But there's still mystery.
Yeah, we don't know for sure. We
still don't know.
We don't know for sure if it started in Indonesia.
Where did the bite come from?
I think that's what they're trying to make out, yeah. That it started in Indonesia, but the bite actually came from somewhere, so we don't actually know. For all we know, this lady's family could have been somewhere else, and then, you know, and something happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the scene after the opening, Ellie awakes. Joel and Tess are over there holding a gun to her. Am I getting her name right? It's Tess, right? Her name is Tess.
Tess.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're holding a gun to her, and she's, you know, I called her a firebrand. You didn't seem to have heard that term before. She's like, she really is. She's a firebrand. It's hard to explain any other way. She doesn't take any shit off anybody.
It's kind of, you know, I don't know if it's ironic or whatever, but she's laying in this bed of grass.
Yeah, it's like moss and grass, yeah.
But there's like things growing around her.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Sunlight's kind of beaming in on her.
Sunlight's around her. Yeah. So I don't know if that has anything to do with what's to come.
Yeah.
You know.
So they start
a little foreshadowing.
Yeah, they start checking on her. They start checking on her, and Tess and Joel are having a conversation. Like, oh, she, you know, Tess. Joel's less believing of it because he knows he's seen a lot. Tess has too, but I think Tess is more like, well, maybe this is important. This seems important. Joel doesn't care. He's like, we should just go back and take her back to the Fireflies in the city. And she's like, if we go back and they see that on her arm, they're just gonna. They're going to kill her.
Right.
And then, you know, whatever is helping her keep this out is...
And we get nothing.
It's done. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing. So she says she has to go to the bathroom, and Tess throws her a magazine and then says, you know, something like that's all we got. Mm. And she goes to the bathroom, and at that point, Tess and Joel have another conversation about it. And Tess, who is less, I guess, impulsive, tells Joel that they need to at least try this. It's their best shot they have to get out of here. And I'm surprised they didn't bring up Tommy at all. Like, it's your best shot to get to Tommy, because that seems like kind of Joel's like thing. You know, he wants to get back to his brother. So they have a conversation, and they ultimately decide, well, Tess kind of tells Joel, this is what it's going to be. We're going to take her, and we're going to get to these Fireflies. We can hand her off then. We get everything we need. He ultimately assents to that. And they leave the little hide out there. And it looks like a little, like a store or something that they're in, that they just took cover in for the night. They leave the hide out there in, and they're talking about walking to the state house. They go outside, and you see Boston and its ruins. And you find out that they bombed the city, and it had a good effect in Boston. That's why they have the quarantine zone, because it did save a lot of people ultimately when they bombed it. Mm-hmm. And there's a big building blocking the easiest way. So they're like, we got to go the long way, you know, essentially. And Ellie's like, yeah, let's go the long way. It sounds safer.
Right.
Yeah.
Based on those two options, let's take the long way.
Yeah. So you get a nice view of all this beautiful CGI or matte painting, whatever they use for this, and how the city's just in ruins from this bombing.
It's done so well, too. Yeah, it looks great.
It's done super well. So, the whole scene in this store is good. It's some more world building, and how Joel is kind of like, yeah, I don't want to do this. And, you know, it shows him eating some jerky, which seems like the safest option if the food supply is infected with flour. But they also show Ellie eating like a chicken sandwich or something.
With bread.
It seems like it's bread on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marlena gave that to her. Or Marlene. I saw Marlena, but it's Marlene. Gave that to her. But, yeah, this is some nice stuff. And Ellie gets some nice little lines, being a little shit like she is. And they leave. So, on to the next scene. Do you have anything else to say about this kind of...
It's very good character building for these three
right
now. You know, you're really expanding on the relationship.
Yeah.
To a certain point.
And it somewhat shows that Tess... is just done with this place. She wants to get out. She's done. She's done with Boston. She's done with the quarantine zone. And this might be her shot.
She's looking for any bit of hope.
She doesn't really say it here, that she has this hope in Ellie, that she wants to help because of a possible cure, possibly. But you get that kind of later. But, I mean, it's pretty clear that she kind of thinks Ellie's important. Yeah, and that's why they have to help.
There's something there. She's, you know, she has a ray of light.
Yeah.
Ray of light.
There's literally a ray of light hitting the back of Ellie.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, foreshadowing or whatever.
Oh, most definitely.
In this,
most definitely.
In that scene.
Yeah. So they go out to walk to the state house. They take the longer path, of course, and the longer path goes through a hotel. They open the doors to the hotel, and there's a, it's flooded. You get an opening shot of the hotel. There's some ducks swimming in this water in the hotel, and a frog on a piano jumping around and making noise.
Playing the music with the score, which is great.
Yeah, and this is the scene where we figure out something very important in the game. It becomes very important in the game that Ellie isn't, she can't swim. She
can't swim, okay.
And Joel looks back at her like, are you serious? You can't swim? And she's like, there's no swimming pools in the quarantine zone. She's 14 years old. She's grown up in quarantine. You're not going to swim. So there's no reason for her to learn how to swim. Like Joel and Tess, they were born in normal times. And, you know, the 60s, Joel was born in the 60s, and Tess probably around the same time, maybe a little bit younger. But they know how to swim. But the funny, it's kind of a funny little part. Joel walks down the stairs, and she's saying she can't swim. And he, like, jumps off the bottom stair.
Jumps off.
And it's, like, up to his thigh.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay.
He's like, seriously? Come
on. She's like, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. You know. So they go in the water, and Ellie kind of gets a little brave here and goes over to the desk and is making a lot of noise and ringing a bell. And they're just, like, looking at her like, what the hell are you doing? And she goes over, and this body pops up out of the water. A skeleton pops out of the water, scares her. So I think that kind of backed her down with her attitude a little bit, that she understands she doesn't know anything about this world at that point. Yeah. So that's kind of the next scene that came up, and it's pretty straightforward. There's not much to go through on that scene. And so that seems just, you know, what is what it is at this point.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, they're just moving forward, trying to get to their destination.
All right, so they get through the hotel, through the water in the hotel, and they're going up the stairs, and they come to an area where it's kind of blocked off, where they can't get through, and they're like, oh, this wasn't here the last time. And they decide that somebody needs to crawl through this to open this particular room door that's locked. They can't get through. There's something behind it. It's not just locked, because they could bust it open if it's locked. So Tess says, well, I'll climb through there. And Ellie's like, well, I'm smaller. Maybe I should do it. And they're like, no, because on the other side, if there's something there, it just leaves us stranded here if you're dead. So Tess climbs through, manages to open up the door and let them through. They get through the door and through the hotel onto a balcony, where they see the route they're going to take is just covered with infected. There's hundreds of them down on the ground. Like, and it's kind of like just wriggling. It's like a long shot. There's like just movement and stuff. Yeah,
they're moving with like the sunlight.
Yeah. Yeah. They're moving.
You got the dark spot with the cloud and then the sunlight, and they're kind of moving they would, like a fungus would do in nature, I guess,
And then they get they bring up an explanation that there's tendrils. If you step on one anywhere in the city, basically it's all connected. They're a hive mind that it warns every other infected that there's people there they can go after. So they become, and Ellie's like, oh, well, great. Had these guys on me this whole time with this stuff. So,
and that's pretty interesting in itself. Yeah. It's a big network.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, is that in the game at all?
I don't remember that from the game. It may have been in the game, but it's spores in the game, so I don't think so. I don't remember that in the game.
That's pretty interesting. I like that.
I could be wrong. It's been about 6 months, so I don't remember everything about the game. So they decide they can't go their new longer route, so they're like, Ellie's like, well, let's take the shorter route then. So they get back onto the other route, and they have to go through a museum. Joel brings up, we're going to have to go through the museum. They get to the front of the museum. It's covered in just like fungus. And Joel kind of tests a little bit of the fungus and says it's dried out, that it's dead, and it won't give them away. So they there's all the wriggling guys. But they go into the museum, and they see some dead guys in there, but they're all dried out and everything. But it's cool. The fungus effect is very cool in the museum and stuff like that. And Ellie walks around a corner and finds a freshly dead man. And he's all cut up, and she's like, I got bit by one of these. What the hell did this?
What did this? Yeah.
And Joel and Tess are a little freaked out by this, and they tell her, silence from here on out. They don't tell her why. He's like, no questions, just silence. So
yes, no quiet.
So Ellie's kind of Ellie's kind of freaked out at this point, and they decide to go up the stairs through the museum to get to where they need to be. But Joel and Tess know what's here. They know there's clickers here. And we haven't seen a clicker yet. We haven't been told what a clicker is, but there's clickers here. So they move their way up the stairs. The stairs are very noisy. They're doing the best they can to stay quiet. And they get to the next floor and get through the door, and behind them it crashes. Mm-hmm. Loud noise, and you hear the clicks. Yes. And you're asking, like, is it just the sound they make? They call them clickers. Yeah, that's exactly why they call them clickers. They make this clicking sound. And Joel gives some more story to Ellie at some point in this, saying that they're blind, but they use their ears to find people.
He's being silent.
So,
well,
so they can,
the way he relays that is pretty great. He's like, can't see.
They can hear. And he's being quiet. So as long as you're quiet, they can't find you, unless they, I guess, run into you. They'd find you then. But it's very well done. The clickers, game perfect. Perfection. One of them's female, one of them's male. We got that. I got that out of the credits. I didn't notice that in. But they have a whole battle with the clickers, which is straight from the game. I even told you, I said, what he did running down that hall is exactly what you do in the game. Like, you run down that hall and you fight through this area. I seem to remember there were more
hide and fight a little bit. And fight. Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think there were bad guys in this museum too, like raiders in this museum that they ended up fighting. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. That may be another part I'm thinking of in the game. But the clickers get on them, two clickers. They hear them and they come after them. And the clickers are very hard to kill in the game, and they've made that pretty clear that's going to be the same in the show. Joel's got the machine gun. They've got a couple pistols. Ellie's constantly asking for a gun.
He shoots them several. The one he shoots several times.
Yeah. Ellie constantly asks for a gun, which is straight out of the game too, and they won't give her one because they don't trust her with a gun because she's 14 years old.
Yeah.
So the clickers are attacking them. There's two of them. Tess kind of pulls one of them off, and the other one's coming after Joel. Joel runs back into Ellie and kind of tells her to come around to, you know, his side of this little museum stand with glass in it. And they're walking, and Joel steps on some glass, makes a noise, so the clicker's on him and jumps on top of Joel and Ellie, and they're fighting him off. And finally, Joel manages to get the one off and shoot it and kill the one. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the other one hears this and is coming after him. Tess comes up behind it and hits it right in the side of the head with a hatchet, and it's still coming. And Joel finally finishes it off by shooting it six or seven times, and finally takes it down. So they take down both the clickers. We've met the baddest enemy in the game, pretty much. There's other ones that we're going to see. There's another couple bigger enemies that you're going to see in the game in the show, I'm assuming. But the clickers are dead, but it shows how bad it is and how rough it is to take on these guys, and why they tried to avoid it completely. But these guys got mushroomed out heads. What'd you think about this?
I thought it was, first off, creepy. They did well with making it just as eerie as it could be.
You hear the sounds.
The makeup was awesome. I was like, man, it looks like, you know, it's just mushrooms growing. Yeah. Like, you know,
that's basically what it is. Yeah. Like, it blows their head out. And it's like a little mushroom flower at the top of their head.
Yeah, they got infected and mushrooms.
Yeah.
And, it was really neat. And I love how you just can't shoot him in the head one time
to
kill him.
No, it takes me. He shot him twice in the head right there.
And he's got I don't know what gun that is, but he has
M16, M14, something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. A powerful weapon.
Yeah.
And it takes several shots just to take out one.
Both of them. It's like, and that's the thing in the game, man. Ammo is sparse in the game, and you don't get a lot of it. And these clickers will eat up your ammo, and then you're hand-to-hand at that point in the game. Yeah, and it's like, it's impossible at that point. You're going to see bombs and stuff later in the game. Ellie gets another injury in the same spot on her arm, which I've got a scratch on my arm right here, exactly where she has one. But
We're going to take care of that after this episode.
I'm okay. It's a sinus infection. I'm going to be fine.
Maybe me on the next episode.
I'm
going to
be fine. I'll be fine. So Ellie gets a scratch, and she's like, oh, what the, you know, F on this.
Not again.
And so Joel's like, oh. Yeah, it's another thing. He's scared of her. He thinks she's going to change.
Doesn't trust her.
Does not trust her for anything. They get onto the roof of the museum at this point, and I thought it was pretty funny. They're like, oh, don't be scared, you know, and she's like, it's wood. Yeah. Compared to what was in there, this is not scary at all. She walks across this ladder with wood on top of it that spanning like a 100-foot drop, you know.
And, man, my vertigo would come into play right there.
So much, so much. So they walk across. And at that point, it kind of Tess lost a shoe, I guess, and like injured her ankle, or he takes her shoe off. He doesn't. I can't. He's taping her ankle up with electrical tape, to help her out because she's got an injured ankle. So she's going to kind of limp through from here on out. And then they, from this scene, it kind of jumps over to the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's a quick jump. They don't really show them traveling, which is a good choice. They don't need to show them traveling from one location to the next, but they get to the Capitol building because the museum, I think, is pretty close to the Capitol. So once they get across that building, they're down on the out in front of the Capitol and they see a truck there. Joel goes up to the truck, opens the door of the truck and sees blood inside. He knows something's happened. That this is not good for them.
It's like,
right,
it's
now.
It's like a military.
Yeah, it's like a military
vehicle. Yeah,
yeah, with a container on the back, and there's a dead guy next to it that's been killed somehow. And so something's happened here. It's not good. They're not going to get what they want here. Yeah, it seems
blood
like
blood spatter everywhere.
They're still hoping that when they walk in the Capitol, that the Fireflies are going to be there. But they get into the Capitol, and just everybody's dead. There's a bunch of dead guys on the floor. And Ellie's like, what happened here? And Joel's like, one of them got infected. Multiple got infected. And they just all killed each other, basically. Then they are looking at one of the dead bodies, and tendrils start growing up. They're found at this point, and they hear the infected start coming, and the unfortunate end to this part is that Tess reveals that she was bit by the clicker. She's infected on the neck, which it seems like it should have been a quicker infection, but for the show, they make it a little longer. But she's like, you have to do this, Joel. I'm not going back home. And that's when she shows the thing. Yeah. Like, this is not my home. You've got to take her and get her to wherever she needs to be, because she's our only hope. And this is like Tess's dying wish to Joel. So he's going to honor this, hopefully. You know, we don't know. But Tess, you know, they hear all the infected coming, and Tess starts breaking open these barrels of gasoline and throwing grenades on the ground and says, like, you guys go.
It's convenient that they had barrels of
gasoline. They did. Barrels of gasoline and grenades.
And grenades, yeah.
So all the infected are coming. Tess is going to be left behind. Joel doesn't like it one bit. But Tess is already dead. She knows she's dead. She's not going to become one of them, essentially.
So
she knows what she has to do.
It takes, like, a short time for them to change over.
Yeah.
I mean, how's it work?
Well, if you looked in the first episode, that very first part, it shows if you're bitten down low, it's like 12 to 24 hours. And the higher you're bitten,
closer to the brain and heart.
Okay. It's quicker. It was only like 5 to 15 minutes in that first episode. It said if you're bitten in like the neck or head, that it would get. I guess she's kind of bit like on the chest, so maybe it's a little bit like a couple hours, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but she's definitely already getting infected. You could see the infection spreading when she shows her shoulder right here. Yeah, it's right on the edge of her collarbone.
Yeah,
right, like right in the collarbone,
right on the meat.
Yeah, up in the deltoids there. So my expectation is she should have changed quicker, but she didn't, and it makes for a good scene. Now, the difference here, I talked about the difference in the game. In the game, you are not fighting infected here. You're fighting Fedra. Fedra soldiers are there, and you're having to fight them. But I think for purposes of the show, and even I think Neil Druckmann said they changed this because they thought it was a little bit better for the show to do it this way. It made a little bit more sense. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, it's a little more believable because fighting off a bunch of armed guys with machine guns and everything who are probably a little more well-trained, a little bit tougher. So Tess dumps those barrels of gasoline out, and Joel and Ellie are running out to go and move on.
Yeah, Tess's end is a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a good end, and it's similar in the game.
Yeah, but I think it just shows the connectivity between, you know, the fungus with Tess's death.
Yeah.
Because that scene, that last scene with her in it, that you see her,
it
kind of expands on that a little bit more.
Right.
So I think that's that may be why they incorporated, you know, this scene instead of
the military.
The military.
Yeah. It works better for TV. It really does. So these guys, they're coming. She stays behind. She's got her lighter out waiting for him. She's trying to get the lighter lit. It's like a Zippo. And she just keeps doing it. And they come in, and this fungus zombie comes up to her and gives her a nice French kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so gross.
The whole time she's freaking out about that, but she's still hitting that lighter. And Joel and Ellie, it shows them outside as she gets the lighter lit and tosses it, it jumps over to Joel and Ellie outside the building, and there's a massive explosion that takes out, I guess, all of the fungus guys that were in there pretty much, because it's a huge explosion. Like, the whole floor
like of the Capitol building, you see fire come out of every edge at it, and some fungus zombies out there burning.
Yeah, they run out.
Joel's devastated at this point. He lost Tess. He loses everybody he loves, basically.
But he was mourned for a second.
Yeah, but he knew he can't.
The world that he's in right now, he's quick.
Yeah, they have to go.
Let's go.
So they're going. I mean, Tess is gone. Tess is done. She says a line right there: "Save who you can save." Basically, she can't be saved, but Ellie can, and other people might be able to. So that kind of sets off the rest of it's going to set off the rest of the show. Joel, making sure Ellie makes it, and going to save who he can save, which could be everyone for all he knows. Yeah. If he gets there and they find a cure to this. But yeah, Tess is in. It was fantastic. I mean, it's a hero's ending. Hero's journey. His hero's ending.
Yeah.
She does what she saves who she can save. Yeah. She can't save herself. She can save Ellie and she can save Joel by doing what she does. So yeah, and that brings us to the end of the episode. We just see Ellie and Joel looking onto the flames.
Which I think my only beef with this episode is. I wish I would have seen more Tess.
Yeah.
And got a little bit more of an emotional connection with her.
Yeah.
Because she is a good character.
She is.
She was in at the, halfway point of the first episode and, through the second episode. But you didn't have, I don't think we had enough character building with her.
And the game doesn't build her that much either.
I wanted a little bit more emotional connection there. Like her death, it was great and all how she went out, but I wanted a little bit more emotional connection with her because I thought she was a great character.
Oh yeah, she's good. She's a great character, but it's just another loss for Joel.
Yeah,
but it gives him what he needs to do what he needs to do now because he knows what Tess's dying wish is, essentially to save Ellie and get her there and maybe save the world.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
It goes to credits, and I hated to see the end of the episode because I want more.
Oh, gosh.
I always want more of this. This is a great show.
At the end, I was like, man, give us an hour and a half every episode.
Yeah, give me 2 hours every episode. I don't even care. Yeah. I'll take whatever you give me. But yeah, so Joel and Ellie turn around, start walking. Well, I don't even know if they turn around. I think it just ends on Joel kind of
looking. Joel walks away. Yeah, she's left.
Yeah, yeah.
That awesome scene with the courthouse burning.
Yep, courthouse burning. But another loss for Joel.
Yep.
He's seen a lot of it in his life. He starts walking away.
A little callous.
Ellie's standing there looking. But Joel knows there's nothing. There's nothing left there. There's no reason. Ellie turns around and starts following him. She's not super pumped to do it, but she's going to do it. Because Ellie doesn't like Joel all that
Tess
much.
Tess was her favorite.
Yeah, Ellie doesn't like Joel all that much. Didn't start out good, and they're not good at this point.
Yeah, because I mean that little scene that they had in the hallway when Tess was going and through the hole to check out everything.
Yeah,
it was just those two left to kind of talk to each other.
Yeah, and there's some questions.
There's questions. Like, and no questions. Like pass.
Yeah, pass. Yeah, pass.
He wants nothing to do with
it. He does say he's from Texas. Tess was from Detroit, Michigan, and she's like, "I was in school, asshole. I know where Detroit is." And then there's another thing that comes up, like, "What?
How long do they live?"
Yeah, and they didn't teach you that in school.
Yeah, he was like, "Oh, I thought you went to school."
Yeah, he did say a couple of months for some of them. Some of them are 20 years old at this point.
Yeah,
20 years.
A couple months to 20 years.
Yeah, so it's a long time. Yeah, that's episode 2. I thought it was a terrific episode. Mm-hmm. A lot of good world building, a lot kind of setting us off again on the bigger journey at this point, which is going to come in the next weeks. And then we watched the post-show stuff, which if you're not watching the post-show stuff with Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann talking about the process of the show, you should be watching.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah. They expand on it a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And it looks like we're getting a little Offerman.
Yep.
Next episode.
Yep. Up next, we're going to see Nick Offerman and Frank, which, it's part of the game. Some of this is part of the game. And, so we're going to get a little Offerman, which is a great casting for Bill, to be honest, if you know the game. All right. Anything else to say about this episode?
No. I can't wait for the next.
If you ain't watching and you're listening to this, you should be watching before you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So thanks for... thanks for joining us on Basement Movie Room. If you're listening to us on the podcast, thanks. Be sure to subscribe. We'll be doing this every week as far as I know during the season on Sunday nights. We might end up having something come up on Sunday night and having to do it on Monday or something, but we'll post on Twitter I post on our Facebook page, Basement Movie Room on Facebook. You can also follow us on YouTube, which is youtube.com/Basement Movie Room. And, of course, any podcast app, you're going to be able to find Basement Movie Room or A Click in the Dark, which is our podcast that's directly for The Last of Us, if you're interested in just following that. And but if not, you'll see some movie reviews on our podcast and our YouTube channel as well that we post here and there. I haven't posted one in a while. Christmas kind of slowed us down and all that. But we do have one review coming up that I need to get posted. In any case, thanks for joining us. Twitch.tv/Basement Movie Room as well on Sunday nights after the show.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you next time.
Till next time.